Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. If you've been tuning in the last few weeks, you know that my wife and I, we are from Dallas, Fort Worth. We are investors there, members of Lifestyles Unlimited out of that area. But we've been out on the road. We hitched up our, what we call the RV bunker. It's helped us get through COVID remotely, very much remotely, in fact. And we've been headed east, and we're on the road. We've gotten to our primary destination. We're in College Park, Maryland, at an RV park. Usually we stay at state or national parks. We're actually at the closest RV park to Washington, D.C. So it's been a real quick trip down to the Capitol to show our little guy, our four-year-old, the Capitol, the Washington Monument. He was excited to see Abraham Lincoln, the Smithsonian, you know, as many miles as we could drag him along. It's been great. And since I'm here in Maryland, I sought out a guest for you. It's going to be a very interesting show for you. Now, you may know I'm a single family investor. My guest is also what I'll call a single family investor as well. Not in Maryland, but he's in Virginia. And he's not investing in Virginia. He's investing in Texas. So we're going to get into his story. We're going to hear about what he and his wife have been doing. They've been investing and operating remotely. And again, if this is something you're thinking about doing, whether it's from an RV or from another state, this will be a good show for you. So without further ado, I want to bring on Ted. Trina may join us later, but Ted, welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
Absolutely. So you're down south of the Capitol in Virginia. I'm north of the Capitol, just a smidge, like I said, in Maryland. So we'll get into that remote investing a little later in the show, probably a later segment, but just to set the table for the listeners so they understand who you and Trina are, if you would, give us a little bit of your background. What brought you to this point where we are now today?
Okay, well, so I, when we started out, I worked for the Corps of Engineers in Dallas, and my wife was in the Texas National Guard. She's still in the Texas National Guard, but in the interim, I've moved up to D.C., and I work for the headquarters Department of the Army at the Pentagon. In Dallas, I was the Deputy Chief of Operations for Southwestern Division for the Corps of Engineers. So we were responsible for all of the Corps of Engineers projects. If anybody's familiar with them, like you probably stayed at them with your RV. We're in charge of the navigable waterways of the U.S., and we have a lot of flood control projects across the United States. At most of those sites, there's recreation areas where there's campgrounds and whatnot. So that was what I did when we started. Since then, like I said, I moved to D.C. I am the primary budget officer for the headquarters Army for the Civil Works Program, which is the Army Corps of Engineers program. So I am in charge of the entire budget process from start to finish. We have a very small team that in our section in headquarters. There's four of us, and so each of us has a little section of that program. It's basically a $7 or $8 billion program every year, and so, like I said, everybody has a little piece of it, but I have to make sure that the whole thing adds up and goes smoothly across the finish line to get in the president's budget, and then all of the execution is part of my responsibility.
Wow, a lot of responsibility. Sounds like a pretty busy guy.
I am a pretty busy guy. That is definitely for sure.
So you've been with the Army Corps of Engineers for quite a while. Trina's in with the National Guard in Texas. But how long have you guys been in Virginia now?
We moved up here at the end of 2016. So we've been here a little over 5 years.
Okay. Now, moving to the real estate side, when did you guys decide, hey, what made you come to real estate? Let me ask the question that way.
So Trina's been in the National Guard. She was in the Jersey National Guard before she moved to Texas and we got married. And so when she moved to Texas and joined the Texas National Guard and she was looking to you know, basically diversify our portfolio. And because she only does this, like, you know, 1 week in a month kind of thing. She's not a full timer. She was looking for something, you know, that she could do on the side kind of thing. And so we had gone to a few of these meet and greets, and, you know, heard some presentations about people that had apartment complexes and were looking for investors or whatever. And I think we went to two or three of them, and everyone, we ran into people and they're like, oh, you should go check out Lifestyles Unlimited. I'm not kidding. Everyone we ran into, at least one person, normally multiple people, that said, check these people out. So we signed up. We went in on a Saturday for the little presentation. It was fantastic. I'm like, okay, I can understand this, because I really couldn't understand when we went to the meet and greets. I'm like, you can make these apartment numbers say whatever you want, you know, to sell it to me. And then if it doesn't perform, you know, I'm left holding the bag kind of thing. Went to the Lifestyles meeting. I'm like, yeah, I think we should, you know, we should sign up and go to the 2 day and see what that's about. So we did. And, you know, that's what got us in the door.
So just to clarify, when you talk about a meet and greet in any market, let me take a step back. No matter where you're listening right now, there are always events going on around real estate investing. Some are focused on what we do, single family investing, multifamily investing. Some will be looking at things like where I sit in an RV park investing or self-storage, that sort of thing. So there's a whole wide gamut out there. So it sounds like you're going to other events hosted by other people. And at these events, the compass kept pointing true north, go to Lifestyles. And so you did.
Right, right.
You said you went to the 2 day.
Yeah, well, so yeah, like you said, you know, we just went on, I don't even know what it was, meet and greet or, you know, startup.com or, you know, I don't even know the website, you know, that's 8 years ago or whatever. And Trina just found the, you know, it was like, you know, in the afternoon or evening of, you know, hey, come to this meeting for an hour and a half or whatever. So we would, you know, when I got off of work. But yeah, so then, you know, like I said, we went to the Saturday thing and that kind of, you know, tweaks your interest and like, well, if you're interested, then, you know, they have the Dale 2 day presentation.
Tell you what, we're going to head into a quick break. My other line is ringing and it says Trina. So I'm going to pick this up while we're on the commercial break and see if we can dial her in here as well. Stay tuned.
Dell Wamsley's Real Estate Investing Worst Case Scenario.
Let's say the Democrats took away all tax deductions away from real estate like Ronald Reagan did in 1986. In 1986, we had stock market crash, a real estate value crash. The world came to an end for 3 months. Why? Because he took the value away from owning real estate for people who used it as a tax break. People like myself who got started in 87 go, you know what, you can really buy this stuff cheap right now. In fact, I can buy it so cheap, I can rent it and make a 20% return. Cap rates were 20%. I buy a building and I made 20% of my money without leverage. If I put leverage on it, I made 30 or 40% return. Ungodly returns. Right now, you can earn less than 1% of savings account. So do you think I hope that happens again? Yes, I do. In 2008, when the world crashed and cratered, I bought real estate 50 cents on the dollar. I said, but what happened to the stuff you already owned? I kept it. It stayed full. We rented it. We made money.
Don't let the fear of losing money hold you back from making money. Join us for the next live online pre-workshop. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. We're back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
I'm your host, Andy Webb. If you've got any questions today for me or for Ted or now for Trina, she has joined us. Send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. I do have that open right now, and we can take a look at that together. Again, that's askandy@luinc.com. And as I mentioned, I'm coming to you from our bunker, our RV bunker in College Park, Maryland, joined by Ted, who is now in Virginia, and his wife Trina, who, as it were, is in Texas. So we've got quite a geographical spread this morning. I hope everybody's up and enjoying a nice cup of coffee. I know I sure am. So Trina, welcome to the show. We heard from Ted. He took us a little bit through the background and got us to the point where you guys had arrived at Lifestyles Unlimited. You guys went to the 2 day, and I want to explain for the listener, the 2 day is a short term phrase for our Financial Freedom Program seminar, and it goes over the course of 2 days, 8 hours on Saturday, devoted to single family investing, and then 8 hours on Sunday, devoted to multifamily investing. There's a lot of meat there. You really learn what you need to do for either one of those tracks if that's what you're looking to do. So you guys went to that 2-day. As you sat in the 2-day for the single family or the multifamily, were there any big aha moments that just really smacked you upside the head as you listened to who was your case study or your 2-day presenter, by the way? Let me ask you that. Was that Dell?
Yes, that was Dell.
So as Dell was talking, what was going on in your heads?
Trina, you want to start?
Oh, well, for me, it was the ease of the purchase, rehab, rent, and repeat. And at the time, it wasn't requiring large amounts of money in order to put down rehab and getting it sold. It seemed like a easy formula, a repeatable formula. It allowed us to remain autonomous, grow our business independently the way we saw best, and that served us better. We got to choose our financers and also got a chance to try out different contractors, put in different systems that really accommodated how we preferred to do business and move forward. Well, we did that 20-some times, and here we are. That was the most attractive part for me, was that autonomy and ability to grow.
So ease of process, it sounds like, and like you said, repeatability, which I'm a single-family investor like you guys, and it is very easy.
Mm-hmm.
Ted, yeah. Did you have something to add?
Yeah, I have a couple things. So, you know, as from the earlier segment, I'm a numbers guy. So, you know, as I said, when we went to those meet and greets, the numbers just didn't make any sense. We went to Dale's 2-day and all that, and I'm like, okay, I can understand these numbers, and you know, and I'm like, I think we could make this work. That was my first aha. And then when he really talked about, you know, the stock market and your 401k. And how, you know, you can't get your money out of it, even though it's your money, and the implications when you sell your stocks or whatever, and you have to pay tax on that, and then yet on investing for your real estate, you know, and you get your rental income and you deduct all your depreciation and everything. That I'm like, okay, these again, I'm the numbers guy, so these things make sense to me. I'm like, I get that, you know, if I put my money in my 401k, I can't get it out without paying a penalty, and that this is a much better vehicle. If I want to invest in something, it's my money. If I'm done with the investment, I can sell it, get my money back. You know, there's not a penalty for doing that other than paying on the tax on the profits. All that was an aha moment for me. I'm like, I get this. And then the other one was when he was talking about, I don't know if I should say some other radio host name, but some other conservative radio host that say shouldn't have a mortgage on your house. And Dale was talking about, you know, he had everybody who's got their house paid off, and people raised their hands. He's like, well, how much is your house worth? You know, $300,000. He's like, what's that money doing for you? And I'm like, yeah, right. You know, you've got your house paid off. You've got peace of mind. But if you took that and went back and mortgaged that, think about how many properties you could buy with that amount of cash, or how much apartment investing you could do with that amount of cash, you know, and now you've got a source of income that's outside of, you know, your job or the stock market or anything else.
Yeah, you brought up a number of really good points there, and it is eye opening. And Ted, I'm very similar to you. I'm probably I'm definitely the stronger type B in my relationship with my wife, the numbers guy as well. So it's very helpful. And Dell, or in this case, maybe nowadays David Fisher, we have a lot of guys doing this nationally. Lee Reeves, a lot of guys out there doing the 2-day across the country. In fact. And it's helpful to see how the numbers really work, and they put the pen to paper for you, or chalk to chalkboard, as it were. And for you and for me, the numbers guys, aha, right? That really is an eye opener. And what you said about the debt equity in your house, being able to take control of your 401k, most people don't realize how much equity they have that they could put to work for them. They're just not doing it because that's not the way. What Dell did is he showed you the map and said, hey, here's what you can do. That's going to work a lot better.
Exactly.
Now, I'm curious, Trina, you said it's a repeatable process, and you've done it, I think you said, 20 times or something like that. Tell us a little bit about your broader investment progression since that time. What have you been up to?
Well, since we started with single family, and we kind of topped out at 9 properties pretty quickly. I think it was like 14 months, 15 months, Ted? Something
wow.
Like that.
We bought 8 properties in 16 months, and then I had an assignment, and I had to come up with DC for 5 months. And we went back when I was done with my assignment, and we bought another property, but within 30 days of us being back to get to our 9. So within roughly 22 months, we bought all 9 properties and topped out of our Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac portfolio.
Okay, let me explain that for the listener, that because you focused on the 9. Normally, you can do 10 mortgages that are backed by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. That's the cheap money that we talk about on the show. We just did a cash out refi on a property. We came in under 3%. That was a Fannie Mae backed loan. That's where you get the cheap money. But you can only do up to 10. Now, depending on your financial situation, you know, if the listener is married or has a spouse and both are gainfully employed, you both have that W-2 income, guess what? You don't have to both be on each loan. You can split that up and each do your own 10 buckets, which is what my wife and I did. It gets you a little bit farther. It depends on your situation, of course, but good way to go even farther with the Fannie Mae. Now, you got to 9. Number 10, I'm guessing, is personal residence. How did you progress past that point?
So, at that point, we kind of froze, and we kept trying to figure out how to get into the commercial side, and it took us a while, and so it took us a few years to crack that code, if you will. In the interim, we sold our 8th property to the tenant, and we bought our first duplex with the proceeds from that. Well, I guess we'll talk about this later.
Yeah, you hear the music kicking on, don't you? Yeah, we'll talk about that shift, because you've very clearly made that move from single family to the duplex. And a lot of what you've talked about so far is buying while in Texas, but I know that you have bought since you've been in Virginia, so I want to get to that coming up here soon as well, so stay tuned.
We sold one of my wife's properties and actually did a 1031 exchange. And we bought 3 brand new builds in Fort Worth. So right now, collectively, we have 3 of her inherited properties and then 3 properties in Fort Worth that we've done through Lifestyles.
And you turn one property into 3, tripling your cash flow.
Exactly.
Yep. Well done.
Learn to increase your cash flow. Register for the workshop at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb, coming to you today from College Park, Maryland. Joined today by Ted in Virginia and Trina back in my neck of the woods in Texas. And we're going to get into their remote management here in just a minute. But I want to lean on something Ted mentioned in the last segment. And if you missed any of the prior show or the prior segments, go to lifestylesunlimited.com. These shows will be archived there. But Ted, you were talking about the control that you can take of your destiny, essentially, on a financial perspective, that you don't really have in things like the 401k or an IRA. And I want the listener to be very much aware of changes that are being discussed on Capitol Hill right now as part of that $3.5 trillion, crazy number, $3.5 trillion spending package that Congress wants to ram through, and among other things. And you'll need to dig into the details, but it does include provisions that will disallow investors to invest using a self-directed IRA into multifamily. Right now, you as an investor, you can just go in all cash and participate in a syndicated deal in apartments. And you can also use a self-directed IRA. Say, hey, we want to take this, you know, this level of shares in this apartment complex. The Congress on Capitol Hill right now, they're talking about this, taking that option away. And if you are invested as such, they want to unroll that, and you have a limited period of time to get out of those investments if you have already invested in one of those self-directed IRAs into an apartment or multifamily or any sort of passive investment of that nature. So do some digging and let your congressman, congresswoman know, I am not on board with this. You need to fight this. This needs to be taken out of that bill, because that is junk, and that takes that control, Ted, that you were just talking about, away from you and from me, and that sets us all back. So just a quick PSA to the listener, take the ball, run with that, let your congresspeople know this is not okay. So, Ted, Trina, that's not something you guys have to worry about, because like me, you're doing the single family track. Maybe that was the plan in the future. I don't know. But for now, we heard that you've done single family, built up a good portfolio there, and then have started shifting to duplexes. Can you tell us a little bit about that strategy? Why duplexes? What made that the new target?
Well, part of it was, like I said, we hit our 10. We sold our eighth property, and so I could buy another one in my name. And so we were like, well, let's look at a duplex, because that gives us two doors and as opposed to one. And also, it was kind of like, you know, tax and insurance aren't double for a duplex, you know, than they double a single family. And you basically, the way I look at it is, if you got one person tenant in there paying rent, they're basically covering the loan and the property taxes and the insurance, and the other one is pretty much pure profit, if you will. So that was appealing to us. And then while you're doing a make ready, if you got a tenant that moves out, you don't have an unoccupied property. You actually have somebody next door that's sitting there, you know, so you don't have to worry about, you know, somebody trying to break in, or, you know, all those other things that you might have to worry about if you had a single family property sitting out there. So that was part of it. And the other part was that, you know, you could get to, you know, like the market had changed by the time we had figured out how to start acquiring more properties after I got to my 10. And so we went commercial, formed an LLC, and quite frankly, buying a duplex was cheaper than buying two single family properties. So I got two doors for less than if I'd bought two singles.
So a lot of financial points of view there, and I just want to make sure the listener understands that when we talk about financing houses and we reference Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, that cheap money that I mentioned in the prior segment, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac view a single family house, one door, a duplex, a triplex, and a quad, a fourplex, all the same. That's all treated as single family, to use the term. Above that, you get into commercial, five units and greater. So you're taking advantage of those Fannie Mae buckets, those loan slots that you can acquire, that you can use, and just simply parking more doors by virtue of the duplex. Great, great strategy.
Right.
Now, well, we were talking over the break about the division of labor between you two. Clearly, you're more on the financial side, Ted. Can you or Trina tell us a little bit how you split the duties? And then I'd kind of like to hear, management-wise, is there anything different for a duplex than a single-family house?
Trina, you want to start?
I market them the same. I try to, actually, the only thing that I try to do a little bit different is I try to put like pairs, families with families or singles with singles, depending on the type of property, backyard access, parking, and such. So that's my only difference, but actually I do them all the same. The criteria is the same. The marketing strategy is the same, and the renovation timeline is the same.
Okay.
And as far as splitting duties is, so again, I'm the numbers guy. So, you know, I look at it, I'm basically, we have a realtor, and she does all of our, you know, all of our stuff for us. She set up an automated, you know, listserv thing, if you will, that if something comes on the market that meets our criteria, I get an email from her automatically, and I look at it and I say, hey, let's put in a bid on that property. So I do all the numbers as far as, does it make sense to buy it? You know, I do all the financing for it. If we refi, like you had talked about, do a cash out refi and that, I do all of that stuff. I'm in charge of the books and making sure, you know, rent gets paid and all that. And Trina's the management aspect. You know, she's tenant relations. You know, she's finding the new tenants and hiring the contractors and making sure the make readies are done and all that stuff. That's how we split the duties for us.
So again, for the listener, think about that. If you have a significant other, a spouse, you're married, and you want to get into this game, you want to become a real estate investor on the single family side or even multifamily, Think about your personality types. Think about who can do what better and split that, split those duties. It'll help you travel a lot farther. My wife and I were very similar to you guys. Now, you mentioned, Ted, that you're running the numbers. You're looking at potential deals. Let's take that opportunity now to shift to acquiring property remotely because, hey, you're in Virginia. How does that work?
So, again, you know, our realtor has the automated emails that come and we get them and I look at them and I say, hey, that one looks, you know, there's a duplex. So especially there's one area of, I think it's Northwest Fort Worth. Trina can correct me. I've only been to that area once earlier this year. And we bought a duplex and then we bought the one next door and then we bought the one down the street and then we bought the one on the street over. So we own like four or five duplexes in this one quadrant of Fort Worth. So I know what the houses are worth. So we'd see one, we, you know, the first one we looked, I looked at the numbers. I said, this makes sense. You know, let's put in an offer. And so, you know, our realtor does all of that financing, you know, the purchase part of it. The financing part is all done through one of our lifestyles contacts or two of them, depends on if we go with our LLC or we go with the regular, the low interest money, the Freddie Mae, Fannie Mac money. But they're both of those are folks that we found through lifestyles, and they're fantastic. And so everything's done online for both of them. I set them up in our Dropbox account. And so when they want, you know, tax returns or profit loss statements or anything else, I just put them in the Dropbox and they get an email and they say, hey, there's new documents and they retrieve them. And so it's easy peasy, you know, you're done with it. And you know, you keep on trucking. So it's real simple to buy them from here. And then as far as, so Trina and I are both engineers. So when we were in Texas and we'd look at a property, you know, we tour the property before we bought it, we do basically the home inspection ourselves. Being here in Virginia, we actually hired a home inspector and he's been doing the home inspections for us. And then we look at the report and we're like, okay, you know, can you fix this? Can you fix that? Or we don't want this property because it's got foundation issues or whatever, you know, but that's how we fix that problem.
Okay, so that's the first stage. Trina, you mentioned earlier a very repeatable process. You buy, you're renovating the property, you're getting it rented, you're refinancing out of, we didn't talk about the hard money lending. We don't need to get into that today, I don't think, but common tool that we use to fix up these properties to get the financing on them. And Ted, you just hit the first piece. We're going to move on to operations when we come back, so stay around.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to be a part of Lifestyles Unlimited? Del Walmsley tells you what to expect when you join us for the next live online free workshop.
We've been here for 30 years. Over 30 years, we've had and or do have roughly 50,000 plus members all over the United States. We have retired tens of thousands of people, and it's just incredible what you're going to find that you're going to be in here. Not only are you going to find the greatest amount of information and education, you're going to find the people, the most open people you've ever met in your entire life.
Come meet the people at Lifestyles Unlimited who will help you change your life and empower you to stop depending on a paycheck, your 401k, IRA, or Social Security for your future. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. At the free workshop, we'll teach you the five ways to make money with real estate, cash flow, equity capture, appreciation, equity buildup, and the tax advantages. Like Dell says, we'll open our books and show you how the numbers work with both single family and multifamily case studies. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com. Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. I'm your host, Andy Webb, coming to you from College Park, Maryland, and joined today by Ted in Virginia and Trina in Austin, Texas. And this is a show I've been wanting to have for some time, guys. I was just waiting till I got to this area because I like to find those quote-unquote local investors. Now, you're in Virginia, Ted. You're actually not investing in Virginia, but in Texas. And I thank you. I thank you for joining me today. And to the listener, I thank you for listening. If you have any questions, you can email me at askandy@luinc.com. And this has been a fascinating topic for me, remote investing. And I saw your case study. That's how I learned about you guys, was back in, I think it was late 2019, before the pandemic, we would meet in the offices at Lifestyles Unlimited in Irving, which is where I'm based, the Dallas-Fort Worth area. We do this in other markets as well, other cities. And you can do this virtually online, by the way. If you follow us on Facebook, those are broadcast there, or subscribe to YouTube there as well. So you can watch those virtually. But I remember you guys were piped in from Virginia. So we were all standing in the seminar room in Las Colinas. We had a presenter do their case study on single family. Then you guys were up, and they broadcast you guys in. It was great to hear about the remote investing, because this whole travel thing was already a bug in my mind. We hadn't quite hit the road. So I thank you guys for sharing your story back then. That was very helpful to me. And to the listener, that's a reason to get to the case study. Somebody's story is going to resonate with you, and you're going to take away some key points, some critical points that may help you make a decision, get over a hurdle, learn something new, quite frankly. So get out to lifestylesunlimited.com, check out our free workshop, learn about our case studies, or like I said, follow us on Facebook or subscribe on YouTube to catch those live. Great information. So guys, again, thank you. And thanks for sharing today. So we've been talking about the remote component of your investing, the acquisition we heard about from you, Ted. Trina, we know you're taking care of the renovations as part of ongoing operations. So once you've acquired the property, what does that look like remotely when you get into the repairs, the renovations, and then the leasing and ongoing operations?
Well, Andy, for the repairs, I have to make sure that the rehab is suitable for occupancy. So I go through the inspection checklist from the purchase, and I make sure that those concerning items are repaired first. Then we go into the aesthetics, pick paint, color, carpets, all of that is fresh and new, light fixtures, doorknobs, and the whole such. Then we have a photographer come in and actually take photos, and then we post it online for availability. If I am in the area, sometimes I'll fly in from Virginia to actually do the sale of the rental. I'll go to the open house. I advertise that the house will be open, let's say a Saturday or a Sunday, just one day, and that drives interest. I actually get a chance to meet potential tenants and before we see their application. When we review the applications, sometimes it's a lot of people, get to match up personalities of, you know, did they have.
So, and I just want to clarify, you say the sale of the rental, you're talking about the leasing of the rental, right?
Leasing. Yeah.
Okay.
So, and then I'm looking to make sure that they meet the criteria. And they are who they say they are on their application, and then we lease the house. From the maintenance, after it's leased, then we, for the maintenance, we go back to we have the same contracting team, and they keep up with the maintenance. I have my one contractor partner. I call him up, and regardless whatever it is, mechanical, electrical, plumbing, or even structural, and he gets the right guy for the right job and sends us an invoice, and we maintain our properties that way.
So you're not there. You're not going out with a screwdriver or a hammer, tinkering around,
no.
Doing it yourself, are you? That would be an expensive flight.
I prefer not.
It's interesting, though. So you're in touch with the applicants. You are taking that extra step.
Yes.
During the leasing process. So just for the listener, you may be thinking, well, I don't want to fly into town. Well, you don't have to fly into town. Interesting story. 2015, my wife and I visited a buddy of ours that had moved to Nepal. We leased a house from Nepal. Did I fly from Nepal back to Dallas to meet the tenants? No, different approach. We used a leasing agent. So lots of ways to get there. Now, I'm curious, when you market the property, are you a realtor? Are you putting that into MLS? Are you using some other platforms? How do you market that?
At times we've used MLS but normally we just use Zillow. Before it used to be Postlet, and it used to have a wide enough feed to get interest for the tenant. In 2000 and I believe it was 19, we had ForRent signs posted, professionally made, and put them out front. So just drive-by traffic and then internet feed traffic. If it's something that we're not getting too much traffic on, then we would put it, we'd pay our realtor and post it on MLS.
Okay. That's your escalation point. Hey, it's sat on the market X number of days. Let's go ahead and push it out more broadly.
Right. We haven't had that issue in the past 36 months, either with anything that we've newly acquired or releasing our already in hand portfolio. We've mostly been able to self-market. We found a wonderful photographer, and that has made all of the difference.
That is extremely important.
Pictures. Yes.
Have you looked at maybe on Zillow or in the MLS, some of these listings that are out there, there's a picture, a fuzzy picture, a grainy picture of that of a toilet. What is that?
Yes. Well, we all don't see the world the same way, obviously.
That's a very important point, though, for the listeners. So Zillow's an interesting thing. They changed their approach. Used to, it was a free service. Now they charge some amount if you post there.
$10
there are a lot of platforms. $10
a week. $10 a week. $9.99 a week.
But in this market, to your point, Trina, it doesn't take long to get a house lease, does it?
No, it does not. I thought it was free for the first week, and that was my goal, to get it leased before that fee was due. So, fortunately, with the use of the sign in the front yard and by putting it on Zillow, we've had enough traffic on all of our recent leases that we've had a depth of selection. I think from one property, we were able to lease three more. And how that worked was we leased the way I just said, we used our basic marketing plan, but we had 10 qualified applicants. Behind that vacancy, we had three more coming available. We called that list of qualified tenants first, and if they were interested, they were already approved, so they were able to just move in. That expedited the leasing process.
And that is a great tip as well.
Yeah, it made them feel good because they were like, oh, I don't have to battle for this one. It's mine if I like it.
People are very nervous right now. I get a lot of stories when I'm doing a lease up, and we've had offers above list. I mean, it's such a hot market, and that's a great approach. And Ted, you mentioned that earlier, having the portfolio of duplexes all in one area. Boy, that gives you some leverage over your processes. And to your point, Trina, being able to backfill based off of existing applications, great tactic. Hey, we've got just about a minute or so left. I'm curious, how have you worked with the mentors? How has Lifestyles Unlimited helped you from that perspective? As you've been remote in particular?
I'll let Trina answer that.
Oh, I love Rich Johnson. He's been a mentor and a friend for years. He gives great advice. Within a day, he answers my question in depth and gives us good guidance. We followed in his footsteps. We always ask him what he's doing now, and we take good advice. We follow his pattern of success, and it's actually been working out well for us.
Yeah, he's a great guy. For a listener, he's in the Dallas-Fort Worth area as well, and he just keeps growing right along. So, yeah, find someone that's doing what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And mimic that. Mirror them. Find a mentor. That's the big point. And one other point you guys have mentioned throughout the show is your team. You mentioned the vendors off the Vendor Hub at Lifestyles Unlimited. Building that team around you, that's pivotal for investing remotely. We're at the end of the show, guys. I thank you so much for joining us. Again, Ted in Virginia, Trina in Texas, me from Maryland. It has been a blast. And like I said, I've looked forward to talking to you guys for some time. It just took me a while to bump in the RV up the road to Maryland to be close to Ted, as it were. So, guys, thanks again for sharing your story. And to you, thanks for listening. You've been listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the math? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the host, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.